Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it. Good morning, church. Hope you had a great Christmas last week. Ivani and I are very happy to be back and to continue to worship together and continue to share God's word with you. The title of our sermon today is God's Love is Made Complete in Us. Very straight from the Bible, the verses that we read just a couple of minutes ago. Verse 12. And let me start by saying this statement, and I hope that you will remember this statement as we conclude this year. We usually come to church the last Sunday of the year to hear about numbers and to hear about goals and to hear about what are the resolutions for next year. Well, we will not hear anything of that today. But rather, we're going to be speaking about God's love. And we will be speaking about how can we learn to love one another. This is the thing. I believe that when we measured any local church's success, the worst thing that we can do is to measure that success in terms of numbers and in terms of production. I believe strongly that the best way to measure any local church's success is by the degree that we learn how to love God compassionately, so deep that others will see in us that love and that they will start loving each other. And I believe that this is the purpose for why this epistle was written. And so having said that, let me say right up front this statement. As God's children, we are not only called to love, we must love one another. Let me repeat that again. As God's children, we are not only called to love. One thing is to be called to love, and another thing is really love. In other words, how the calling to love one another translates into the practical and relationship kind of approach. So I want you to keep that in mind. And by keeping this in mind, allow me in the next minutes to unveil what I mean by this. Notice that the passage that we are considering is begin with the expression right there. Thank you. The passage begins with the expression, "Dear friends, let us love one another." And I believe that the Apostle John, when he was writing this letter to the church, he had in mind this kind of relationship that he was not only a gathering to eat and to have fun. But I believe strongly also that he wrote this epistle thinking that that relationship needed to be deep. needed to be the kind of relationship when we get to know each other, when we get to carry on the burdens from one another. I believe that he is using this expression to refer to the very purpose of why he wrote this epistle, and that is found in this, the first chapter of John, verse 7. Let me just read it to you real quick. 1 John 1, 7, that says, but if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. See, the purpose is communion, is fellowship, is to get to know God in a deeper way, and is to get to know one another in a very practical way. And he is saying that as we get closer to God, then our knowledge about him will be deeper. And since he is love, as we read just a few minutes ago, verse 8, chapter 4, he says he is love, that love will flow in us and through us. And others will see that. And it will be evident in our own walking with the Lord. And that's why our love is based on the fact that it comes from God. And it does not come from us. We cannot love the way we are asked to love had not been for what he has done for us on the cross. And when we talk about facts, we're talking about not only things that we know, but there is a little bit of difference between knowing facts, which are numbers maybe, or events that can be measured, but it's also things that we will know to understand the bottom line of everything. In other words, the statement that I made here, our love is based on the fact that it comes from God, who is the ultimate reality. What does that mean? That means that God exists, and that he is, and that he is all-powerful, and that he, even before the world was created, had already entered into a intimate and close and deep relationship with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. It's a Trinitarian concept, even though the word Trinity does not appear here, but it's that's what he's talking about in the previous verses. He is saying Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And your perspective about Jesus will affect the way you walk. Your perspective about Jesus will affect your relationships with others. And so, facts help us to get to know things, but the bottom line is that we need to get to that reality of getting to know God as he is, and as he himself revealed in the Bible. Let me give you an example. I use this example from Dr. Tony Evans. He had a great study on the book of John. And if you want to go to the internet and look for it, you will see this example there. I like it because he says, If I go to the doctor because I have a headache, the doctor will prescribe medication to get rid of my headache. Then I go back home and I take my pills and the headache does not go away. The second day, take my pill, nothing happened. The third day, nothing happened. Then I go back to the doctor and he said, this is what's going on. So the doctor get deeper in my testing and goes and does an MRI. And the MRI revealed that I have a tumor. What was the fact? The fact was that he was having pain. That was real too. But that didn't solve the problem. The problem was solved until they found out that I had a tumor that is causing this pain. Very much with God. You can know a lot about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the Bible. You can know a lot about church stuff. But those are facts. The question is, how is your relationship with what we've been calling this morning the ultimate reality? How is your relationship with God, in essence? And so, thinking about this, that it comes from God, it doesn't come from us. Let me say this. That is possible only to those who are born again. Because those who are born again are those who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and they can relate to this kind of love. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to us. In fact, he says that he loves us, and before even the world before was made, he redeemed us by sending Jesus, who is our Redeemer, and he sealed us by giving the power of the Holy Spirit the day we believe, the day we came to know Jesus as our personal Savior, that day we were sealed. And I know this is very basic stuff, but it's good to be reminded and to remember that we are here to continue to get deeper in our relationship with God and loving Him like crazy and loving one another. And this is possible not only because we are born again, but also because we have had that thing that we call experiential transformation. It's not the same to talk about reformation than talk about transformation. Reformation, it's just a static change, write that out there. It's a written change, our declarations. Okay, we need to change this statement, and so we reformed our way of thinking, and we said this is the best way to do it. But transformation has to do with internal change. It comes from inside out. It doesn't have anything to do with the exterior. It has to do with the internal changes that we all have experienced if we have received Christ as our personal Savior. So the dear friend love one another is not only possible because of that, but also because God's sacrificial love gives us the capacity to love like Him. I tell you one thing for sure. Have not been for my Lord living in my own life and in my own walking with Him, I would have done a lot of bad stuff to people who have hurt me. I probably would have responded in a very fleshly way. Smack somebody or just punch somebody. Things that they have said about me and things that they have done to me. But why I, and you should as well, have the capacity to love like he did? Because his love has been poured out in our own hearts. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. See, the Christian life is not about a set of rules and codes that we have created. Christianity, it's allowing Jesus Christ to live in us and through us. Have you ever heard the expression, some pastors use this expression or teachers, they use the expression, when we get out of church Sunday, we want people to see Jesus in us and through us. How is that possible? Let me propose to you that is possible only doing one thing. I'm very strong in this theme that I've been preaching, and you heard me saying this before. One thing. Just one thing. Love God like crazy. And love one another like crazy. Simple as that. And we are called to do that as a church, as a local church. And sometimes you learn by very hard experiences. Talking about sacrifice, the day Ivania and I decided to love God with all of our heart and to love family and to love church compassionately. That very day, the problems and the spiritual warfare started as well. Because the enemy does not want us to grow intimately with God. And that's the context of chapter 4. If you read the previous verses, that's what he's talking about. It's your perspective about Jesus. There were some false teaching back in those years. And false prophets were saying that Jesus was less than God. Or all others were saying, no, he is more than God. And it's not about Jesus being more or less. The truth of the matter is that the Bible declares very plainly that Jesus Christ is God. He is God, the incarnate, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowledgeable. Holy, 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 just as full of grace and truth. He is God. And he came and he was killed on the cross and he became our cover. That's what the word propitiation comes from in the Old Testament Hebrew root. He covers all of our sins the day we believed in him. And so as we finish this year, let's think about letting each one of us learn how to love God. But there is a second section here that John refers, and he begins again in verse 12. Dear friends, we ought to love one another. See, we're not only called, we must. And you said, really? Does that mean that I don't have a will to love? Well, yeah, you do. But you do once you realize who you are in Christ. Once you realize that the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to you and has been given to me. When we realize that no one, the Bible says, has ever seen God, but if conditional, we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So loving one another is based on the fact that God lives in us, who is the ultimate reality. And it's amazing to me, and it's wonderful. In the meantime, that the verse 12 has the word complete, which is the same Greek term that Jesus used on the cross when He said, "It is finished." The same root. There is nothing else we can do. There is nothing less we can do. It's been complete. It's done deal. If you're in Christ and the holy power of the Holy Spirit lives in you and through you, and you realize that that's who you are in Christ, then the next step will be, we don't like this word, I don't like it personally, where we must love one another. In fact, it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. So it doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what's your cultural background. It doesn't matter what's your race. It doesn't matter. And I believe that's the heart of doing these changes through the year as a local church. We are becoming an international church of Gaithersburg. Why? Because we want to be inclusive rather than exclusive. Everyone should be included in this plan. God included him. And we should do the very same thing. God lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, according to verse 13. But not only that, God's love has been made complete in us by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, according to verse 10 and verse 17. So this is the part that I want you to keep in mind now. Let me finish with that. God's love made us be confident and without fear in loving one another. Let me stop there for a while before going to the practical aspect of how does that translate in the practical way. Have you ever feared somebody whom you don't know? I have. Remember going to a missions trip to Cuba. And I was told to go with somebody to visit a sick person to pray for him. The person who was taking me to that place was, I didn't know him. I was kind of reluctant to go, and I finally said, if there's no other way how to do this, well, let's go, and we walk. That's the way we do it in Cuba. Either you walk or you take public transportation, which is really, really a difficult experience. So you have to walk. So I walk a couple of blocks and we got there. I didn't know the person for whom I was going to pray either. And through that process, I was kind of skeptical and I was kind of afraid. What if somebody find out that I'm doing religious stuff in Cuba. Cuba is a communist country. And I will be in trouble. Long story short, I prayed for that person. That person was healed. And the person who took me to that place was also a missionary from another country. And we got to know each other afterwards. And when I find out that all these things were taking place in ways that I wasn't expecting, I said, God is in it. And all fear and all skepticism went away. Only if we risk for a little bit. God's love made us be confident and without fear that we are called to love Him and that we are called to love one another. How does that translate into the practical way? Let me start by saying the first thing. Understanding that giving and receiving goes hand by hand. In other words, we are blessed to bless others. One of the things that we had in mind the first time that we went to Cuba with my wife and other people from our church was that we were going to give. And yes, that we had that in mind, very clear in our mind and in our hearts, that we were going to give and that we were going to be a blessing to these people and that we were going to have the opportunity to share all that God is doing in our own lives and stuff like that. We were prepared to give and to give. Well, it turns out that we were there. We also received. One person told us, don't bring medication, please. We don't need it. And we ask, why? Because all we need is Jesus. You know that they pray for every single thing. They have an headache, they pray in the name of Jesus. You have a running nose, they pray in the name of Jesus. Whatever the sickness or illnesses you're going through, they pray. They go out. They don't know what's going to happen next. They walk long distances to go from places to places, and they pray in the name of Jesus. They go in public transportation, and the first thing they do is they pray, and they say, Lord, allow me to get there where I'm going right now, whether it rains or not rains or there's a sunshine. I want to get there. And all things that we receive and we learn were just a great blessing. So it's about giving, yes, but it's also about receiving. It's kind of I don't want to use this term, but there's no other, it's kind of a recycle. You give and you take. You give and you receive. So the second practical thing I think we can learn today is that loving one another is telling us words of grace and truth. Let me give you an example. If you are wrong about a doctrinal or teaching of the Bible, or if you are wrong about any decisions you have made in life, my approach will be that of grace. Considering yourself, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 3. But the fact that we love one another so deeply help us to go and tell the truth to one another. See, love is not only an emotional thing or aspect of our relationship. It's about telling the truth to one another. There's nothing wrong if you see a brother doing the wrong thing, going with him or with her and said, and sit down and go through the issue and say, this is what you're doing is not right. You know, one of the things that we are not practicing in church is discipline. There is a lack of discipline and order in church. Everyone wants to do whatever they want nowadays. I hope this is not happening here. But we must speak words of grace and also words of truth if we are to practice this kind of love that has been complete in us. Third, understanding that cultivating a loving relationship is both ways intimacy. As we give and receive, and as we give grace and truth, intimacy takes place. That's our communion. 1 John 1:7 that I just read. 1:7, communion. It's the word, we all know this word, and we use this word in church context and preaching. Koinonia. If we walk in His light, we have koinonia with Him. And we will get to know Him in a deeper way. And He will show us the way and where we're doing wrong, what we're doing wrong. And so we will eventually have a close relationship with my brother, with my sister, with my pastor, with my elder, with my deacon, with everyone. How do we measure success in church? In the degree that we love God and love one another. Let's get rid of numbers. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like numbers. I want to see these chairs fill, to tell you the truth. But if we do this very first thing, I believe God will do the rest. This is where it begins. We need to cultivate a loving relationship in both ways. And that creates intimacy. It's difficult sometimes to love somebody whom we don't want. But we are called to do that. There is another practical way. God's extravagant love is available for everyone and everyone is able to imitate Him by loving one another. It seems like I'm repeating myself here, but I think that you get the point at this moment. It's a vertical and horizontal kind of relationship. And we need to grow in both directions. And as we grow in both directions, I believe that the koinonia that we're talking about will be exponential. The last time I spoke about this, I said, if we only grow spiritually, we isolated ourselves from the world. But if we are only into the gospel and even socialize the gospel, then we forget about the spiritual depth of the gospel. And it's not either or, it's both and. Loving God like crazy and loving one another like crazy. Let me conclude. My prayer, as one of the pastors that has been coming here through all the year, I remember last December I came here, as one of the pastors that has been preaching God's word in prayer and faithfully, my prayer is that we, as Gaithersburg International Christian Fellowship, will be about transforming lives through connecting people from all cultures to the love of God. Notice that I said not to the church, but to the love of God. Because that's even better. And that's the purpose why we exist. Second, we are passionate worshipers and servants who are crazy about deepening our love for God and people. And when I say passionate worshipers, I'm not saying get rid of your style or your way of how you do it. There are a lot of different styles there. But in your own way, in how you grow up in church, you can worship God in spirit and truth. Some people jump and scream and do all kinds of stuff. That's how they were raised and that's how they were taught. Let's respect one another. Let's love one another. There are some people who worship just quietly. Right there back in your bench, in your chair. But you're worshiping the Lord in a deep way. And you are being ministered by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what I'm saying is style, it should not be the issue. Heart is the issue. Your heart connected with the heart of God. Pleasing Him, adoring Him for who He is, and exalting Him by virtue of who God is. He is love, and He loves us so much that He forgave our sins, past, present, and future. And we have a great future where there will not be, my brother was leading us in worship, no pain, no more sorrows. That's in a very deep eschatological concept. Jesus Christ is coming, and we will be in heaven one day. So we are just rehearsing here on earth. So let's get passionate about worshiping Him, about serving Him. I love seeing these brothers and sisters in church who are doing anything so that everything will... The gift of hospitality. We need to continue to practice that. So that everything will go just smooth and everything will be just perfect, because we're serving God. And finally, my prayer is that as a church, we will be about engaging in personal, look, evangelism, discipleship ministry. Based not in our activities. Activities are good, but activities are just a conduit, a bridge for that end. What is the end? To show our love for God and people. Your neighbor, the one that you have been praying. If you've been following my sermons, that has been the pattern. Love your neighbor. Love God. Get deeper. Get passionate about Him. Get crazy about God. There's nothing wrong in getting crazy about God. When the Nationals won the World Series, they went nuts in D.C. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Jesus Christ won the victory on the cross in Calvary forever. And pay for my sins, and death has no more power over me and over you, so I will go not for my Lord our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get passionate. Amen? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge and the call not only to love one another, but only the challenge that we must love in a very practical way. So as we go out, Lord, we ask you to empower each one of us with your Spirit so that others will see what you're doing in us and through us. Father, we pray and confess that we are not there yet. And so we ask your forgiveness. We ask you, Father, that you help us. We know that the enemy does not want us to love you and to love people. And in fact, he's going to be using all kinds of strategies to discourage us. In the context that we just preached, it was false teaching. In our context, could be any other thing. Father, we pray that we may have the courage to forgive others, those who have offended us, and those who have done wrong to us, and that we will imitate you in loving them and blessing them. Father, help us as a local church to embrace this principle of loving you and loving our neighbor. Help us to be inclusive rather than exclusive. Yes, Father. Yes, and help us to be a little bit more passionate. To be a little bit more expressive in our own ways. So that others will see your work that has been complete in us. There is nothing else we can add. There is nothing else we can take away. It is complete. It is finished. And therefore, we can love you and we can love one another. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.